Testing, amen. Well, we appreciate you praying for us this week. It's the Happy Day Express, amen. Get on board, amen. So get on board this week. Get on board. So we're going to do a little something, all right? I figured we'll go a little out of character here. We're going to teach you the theme song, all right? Oh, whoa. Come on. New Yorkers got to give it the program here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want to wander around and have all kinds of fellowship. Come on now. All right. It goes like this. We're going to a mansion on the Happy Day Express. And then you go like this. Woo, woo. Okay. And then you go, the letters on the engine are J-E-S-U-S. And then you go, woo, woo. Now you're looking at me like you're a calf that looked at a new gate. I mean, come on now. All right. So we're going to try it. Okay. And then what I do with the kids is I do this. I always say, and I'll blow this thing around. I'll say, are you ready? And the kids will go, yeah. So we're going to try that with you, okay? All right, come on now. All right, come on. If not, we're going to be here a long time before fellowship, okay? Good. Because I have control of the pulpit right now. Thank you very much. Until the bottom drops out and the preacher gets rid of me, okay? So we go like this, are you ready? And you go, yeah. That is poor. That is really poor. That is really poor. I mean, you think that was effort, right? Are you kidding me? Okay, we're going to try it again, okay? Good. You ready? Here we go. Who thought you were going to come to church like this tonight? It's okay, all right? Here we go. Are you ready? There you go. There you go. Awesome, all right? All right, here we go. So follow me. Here we go. We're going to a mansion on the Happy Day Express. Woo! Woo! Bro, just because you're from New York, man, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, choo-choo train. I mean, come on, please. Don't make me call you out, okay? All right, we'll try it again. Go into a mansion on a Happy Day Express that's really deep, you know? Woo, woo, okay, all right, okay. And we don't have the words up, but I figured you're a little bit older and you can handle this, okay? Good. Some people just shake their head. You ready? Well, you follow me. Go into a mansion on the Happy Day Express. Woo! Woo! Great! The letters on the engine are J-E-S-U-S. Woo! Woo! Good! The guard calls all for heaven. We gladly answer yes! We're going to a mansion on the Happy Day Express. We missed a woo-woo there, you know what I mean? Okay, good, I appreciate it. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 2. A little bit out of character, but you never know what you're going to get with Brother Kaiser. So it's all good in the neighborhood. I just wonder how much Pastor Myers has spit in the water. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking, okay, amen. Everybody good? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Speak a little bit tonight on... And ask yourself this question, do you have godly character? I think things sometimes in life, you have to take evaluation. And you try, what I've tried in my life, is I need to try to compare myself to God and not to people. Because... we all can make ourselves look pretty good. But when we compare ourselves to God, we fall far short. So I look this evening, look at a couple of fellows in the Bible, and let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your people. Thank you that we have a church that's open on Sunday night. Thankful, Lord God, that we live in a country that's free. I pray that, Lord God, you would speak to our hearts tonight. I pray this week, if people can't be here, that they'd really seriously pray this week. Because we'll definitely be in the battle with the devil. And we're fighting for souls this week. And we want to see people get saved, and we want to see lives changed. And I pray that you hedge and protect, put your blood about this place, Lord. And I pray you use your word to speak to our hearts. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter number 2, we'll begin in verse number 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. I was preaching this morning, and I was in Isaiah, and I had everybody else turning somewhere else, amen, so you never know what could happen, amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I want to think for a minute. Now think about this for a minute. Here's the Apostle Paul. The Philippian church was his heartbeat church, his birth church. And literally, Paul in prison, making a comment that the only person who could care for his state right at that moment beside the church was Timothy. Now, let me ask you a question. When you have a preacher and a man of God who's been in any pulpit any length of time, there ought to be at least one more person than his wife that he can count on. Come on now. And I'm not talking about the assistant pastor either. Let me help you here. Listen to me very carefully. We far fall too short to being people who come to a church and literally, watch it, you ready? Are not concerned enough for the preacher or the man of God who's in the pulpit, who we can count on. Now listen to me. I've been in the ministry over 25 years. And I wonder how many times when a pastor is discouraged, if he could count on people that are praying for him. I'm just speaking my heart tonight, okay? I'm just telling you. And here's Paul, beside the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the greatest men in the Bible. And to be honest with you, he's a little discouraged. And let me help you here. If you've not been there, you will be there. It's going to come visiting you, and you're going to be a little discouraged, and you're going to be a little down. Hello? What we miss is we miss the people who are Barnabases, who are the people who are encouraging. We miss that. All across America, we miss that. Because everybody can discourage somebody. There's very few people who have an encouraging spirit. So now you just think for a minute. Here's Paul, what God has used him to do. And he's only thinking about one guy. Are you kidding me? I was going to talk about another one, Epaphroditus. But at that moment, that's who he talks about. So let me ask you a question. Who beside your family do you care about? Who do you reach out to help, which can't give you anything in return? We're going to deal with that a little bit tonight. Because let me just help you here. It's not all about you and it's not all about me. It's all about Him. And we need to understand that in our heart and in times in our lives, God wants to do something great. All we got to do is just let Him. So there's where Paul is. Okay, we'll continue. Pick it up. That was just a commercial break, okay? For all seek their own, not the things which are the Jesus Christ. Now think about that today. I mean, you're looking at a world today. What are they looking for? They're not looking and not caring about Jesus Christ. They really are concerned about what they're going to get. All right, let me help you. This week, Vacation Bible School. You know how much you're going to get from Vacation Bible School? About as much as you put into it.
That's right.
Hello? And the great statement is, expect great things from God, and God will do great things. Expect God to do great things. I mean, Mrs. Gilmore was saying, what if we have 300 kids? So be it. Hello? But we need to understand that we live in a world, and this world is trying to put us into a mold, and we're supposed to act the way they are when that is contrary to God. We are not, can I help you here? If you're saved here today, you are not of this world. We're just passing through. One day we're going to be in glory, amen? And it could be sooner than we think. Here we go, verse 22. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. That's Paul talking about Timothy. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion, in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he hath longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because ye have heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now think about that for a minute. And the Bible teaches the man of God should be given honor. There's a certain esteem. And honor is due the man of God. Now, to be honest with you today, most people do not reverence or esteem the pastor. Now, I'm not saying we're putting him above God here. But I'm thinking there ought to be, you ready, a reverence or a respect. This world doesn't even respect authority. And the preacher sometimes represents authority. And I'll just be perfectly honest with you. Since I've been in the ministry, I've had many opportunities that somebody might want to call me to be the pastor. But God has not called me to be a pastor. That's not my calling in life. My calling in life is to always been a second man, to hold somebody's hands up, you ready, watch it, and to evangelize and to be an evangelist. That's my calling, and it doesn't matter what church calls me. But we're losing the fact of holding the pastor in high regards. And here, let me plug it here. Here's my question to you tonight. How much do you pray for your pastor and his wife in a week? I just want to think for a minute. I believe the devil is winning when it comes to our pulpit. Because they're fallen. And as more are falling, I'm wondering if it really is because of us. Because we've not been on our knees praying for God. Because now listen to me very carefully. God is looking to take down the head man. Sometimes through a health issue. He's had his battles with that. Come on, I'm just saying to you right now. And you don't think for one minute when you go through something like that, you don't get a little discouraged? And you wonder what in the world's going on? I've been there, done that, got a t-shirt for it. Hello? And sometimes in life you just feel like you're all alone. Just all by yourself. When the people of God should be the ones who rally around the preacher and his family and his wife especially, to let them know that you got their back. Most times people want to stab them in the back. I'm just being honest with you tonight. I travel around a lot of churches. But you're here in church tonight. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But sometimes the choir needs to be preached to. Including me. So I'm going to look at some things tonight. Not keep you here all night. But I want to look at some characteristics that we as people should have in our life. The first one I will look at is compassion. Turn to Jude chapter number 20. Do a familiar verse. Jude 22. 3 John's Jude and Revelation. Jude 22. And of some having compassion, making a difference. All right, ready? Listen to me. When's the last time you made a difference in somebody else's life? See, when we get to heaven, Everybody's going to give an account of their life if you're saved here today. To be perfectly honest with you, I'd rather just skip right to heaven and skip the accounting day. That would be okay with me. But I'm not God. I'm going to give an account. To be honest with you, I'm not really looking forward to it because I know there's been a lot of shortcomings in my life that I know God wanted to do in my life and I just didn't listen. I got a couple things down here. It says, God is more concerned with you as a person than he is with your possessions. It's not the person who has the most toys that gets higher into heaven. God is more concerned with your character than he is with your comfort. Sometimes God puts you out of your comfort zone to teach you some more character. Now, some of us in the room, including me, are a real character. Amen? And so God's got to do a little bit more in us. Come on now. And you know what I'm talking about. But there's times in life that God puts us through some things, and he wants us to learn. And I was thinking when I had a heart attack, and you're on your back, and you're sick like the preacher was, and you're in there, and the wife, and everybody else, you have no place else to look but up. Because when you're in the hospital, and you got things going on, come on, listen to me, they're not... Listen, the worst place to get rest is in a hospital. It's the place you want to get out of. They're always ready to wake you up, poke you somewhere, turn the light on, or do whatever. Amen? Hello? I mean, when I had the heart attack, I'm just saying, like, what in the world? I didn't know if I was going to be there. Honestly, I didn't know what God was going to do, but I'm alive. So then I just got it this way. You ready? God let me know I'm not through with you yet. So I'm allotted time, amen? God is more concerned with your holiness than he is your happiness. Ooh, now wait a minute here. Come on now, Lord, you know I want to be happy. Come on, I want my house, I want my car, I want everything to go well. Can I help you? Life is not fair. But he does want you to be holy. So let me ask you a question. How close are you to God? And if God looked at you and had an accounting day with you, could he say that you're holy? So let's get back to compassion. So when's the last time you made a difference in somebody else's life that who you helped, you could get nothing in return? And you had compassion. Now, here's what I'm finding. As you get older, I'm getting older, you seem to have less compassion. Because sometimes in life, you just think they should know it already. I'm just talking to you. That's dealing with my kids. That's dealing with anybody. And your compassion level starts to go down. And then the Lord reminds me, did you remember what I saved you from? Come on now. He said, would you like to go back where you were? Do you remember what I brought you through? Hello? And sometimes we forget what God has done for us. But we need to be people who have compassion. And Timothy and Epaphroditus were people who had compassion. So I thought about a story. Think about the Good Samaritan. Think about, there were three people who had an opportunity to help a person who came from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell amongst thieves, and when they got him, they literally left him, robbed him, and left him there to be dead. And there were some people in that story that came by. First of all, the priest. The Bible said the priest passed on by. Priest, I think, signifies their religion. Can I help you tonight? Religion can't save you. Religion couldn't save that man that was on the ground who needed help. That priest just passed on by. The Levite, he was a little bit different. He looked and then he left. That represents the good works that we have in our life, which means absolutely nothing. Because if you could work your way to heaven, then why did Jesus have to come? But that's what religion's been teaching you. I mean, I was born and raised Roman Catholic in my life. If you were good, if you followed the commandments, if you did the sacraments, come on now, and you went to Catholic Church, you ready? Watch it. You might go to heaven. What kind of assurance is that? Thank God somebody came and invited me to church, and for the first time I heard about the gospel. Hello? And 3 weeks later, I got saved. It changed my destiny forever. Now watch. We're going to work with kids this week. You're going to pray for kids this week. I'm going to tell you, listen, you know what's going to make a difference in kids' lives? That they know that you care. And that word is compassion. And you might get, you ready? Watch. There might, you never could think this. You might not think, but maybe kids could get a little out of control. Hello? Now, I've never had a problem. It's never been how many kids. It doesn't matter. God has allowed me to work with children and teenagers. That's been my heartbeat. And I usually connect with the kids who are bad. Because that's the way I was. Hello? So my question is, how much compassion do you have on people? Paul said that I had no one quite like Timothy. So if we're going to have the right kind of godly character, the first thing we need to have is we need to have compassion. You ready? Number two, we need to have consistency. You heard the young people tonight, right? Reading their Bible and praying. I'm glad they got up and gave a testimony about that. I thought the man should have been first anyway. Amen. Come on. All them girls were pushing him around. Amen. I heard him up there. Why did I get the microphone? Amen. He just, you know what I mean, bro? That's just how it rolls. Some girls will run over you. Amen. I only raise boys, no girls. Amen. You know why? Because girls cost a lot of money. How many know that's true? Amen. Can I get a witness there? Amen. Hello. And as they get older, usually when they get a certain age, you need to lock them away somewhere. And if they look halfway decent, you need to really lock them away. Amen. Come on now. Consistency. So let me ask you a question. How consistent are you? I thought about a man in the Bible. I thought about Daniel. Daniel was consistent, even though they said, if you pray, you're going to get thrown in the lion's den. Now watch this. And he prayed 3 times a day. They knew exactly when he was going to pray. Now you think about this for a minute. And so he takes a stand for God. He winds up in the lion's den. And God closes the mouth of the lions. Now think, this is... Ready, watch. If that was me, would I have enough faith to do that? Would I believe that God could shut the mouths of lions? But God only wants me to be consistent with what I was given. So you ready? Watch. No matter how old you get, the basics are still true. You read your Bible and you pray every day. Come on, listen to me, whether you want to or not. Because the only way you're going to have compassion and the only way you're going to be consistent is you got to stay in the book. And not, normally what happens is you can find out where a person is. Just ask them if they're reading and they're praying, and you can usually tell they're going to have issues. It all goes back to that. It's basic. Let's look at a couple verses, okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 9, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Now, That's talking about people with integrity. I'll give you a perfect illustration. When you come to Solid Rock Baptist Church, we are on South Whitehorse Pike. Now, if you are going, north, you cannot make a left into the church. Okay? Now watch. It has a big sign and says no lefts. Come on, now watch. Now watch. Listen to me. Do you know how many times I'm in a hurry and the prompting of my flesh says make a left? Come on. Now watch. But integrity tells me you can't do that. Now wait a minute. Wait. It could be late at night. Nobody's coming. Who's going to know? God's going to know. Hello? And when you're, were you ever like this? Like you're getting ready to do something is wrong, and you're getting ready almost to give in, and the Holy Spirit says no, and you say, okay, I won't. But you really wanted to do it. Come on. I mean, you really did. I mean, really, you came to that point like, I'm going to, yeah, and then the Holy Spirit says, no. It happens to me all the time when I make a left. I want to make a left in there. I think it's a stupid rule, amen? But you can get killed. There are lunatics that come to the summit every year. We have this meeting at the end of July, and they try to make those lefts. They try to come out of the, they try to come out, and they try to go north, and they try to make a U-turn right on 30. They're out of their minds. Now, the township is so gracious, but they won't even send a police officer when the church is dismissing. Now watch. But my integrity says, come on. I can't make a left in there. And then when you come out of there, you have to go right. And to go back north, you have to go down. I mean, it feels like you're going forever to make a U-turn around. And you're saying, this is stupid. Yeah. I agree. Been there, done that. Got a T-shirt for it, amen? But integrity says, you do what you're supposed to do. It doesn't matter. Can I help you here? It doesn't matter what you think. If we lived like that, we'd have a lawless society. I know that's not too far from that right now. But the bottom line is, this would be a pretty messed up world. It'd be like nobody in charge. Can you imagine? Out of control. That's what's going to happen when the rapture comes. Can you imagine when the Holy Spirit of God is taken out of this place? Shh. You want to talk about the devil control? Gone. So first is compassion. Number two is consistency. And I'll finish up. I thought about this. The last one is commitment. Philippians chapter 3, 11 verse 12. Go there if you would, please. Philippians chapter 3. This is a word that's lost. 3, 11, and 12. Go up one verse, if you would, to verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I wish the verse stopped right there, because I'm all about that. I'm all about having the power of God on my life. I want the power of his resurrection. He was risen from the tomb, amen? I want that power. Watch it. But I'm not into the next part of the verse. Look what it says. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Whoa, stop for a minute. Why'd you have to add that to the verse? Why'd you have to go and do that? Why? Being made conformable unto his death. The Lord is teaching, if you want my power, there's going to be suffering. I mean, what did it cost him? I mean, think about the Lord left glory to come down for you and me, who didn't want him anyway. But he came and died anyway. He died for you and me that we might have eternal life. And he finished his course. Think about that for a minute. Born to die. To be honest with you, I've been saved a little bit. I still can't comprehend it. That God loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. I can't get over it. And even when I fall short, God still loves me. It's an unbelievable thing to think about. But all the time, he's trying to put into my heart that I need to be, you ready? Committed. Like he was committed. Let me help you here. What we could do, if we as individuals were committed like that, like Jesus was committed. Do you know what we could do in this world with a bunch of committed people? Can I help you today? The world is in the condition it is because of us. There was a day in the late 70s, early 80s, I mean, churches were booming all over the place. Bus ministries, God, people on fire. There was a little bit of revival going on here. I'm just telling you. It's gone now. Come on, listen to me. We need it again. And listen to me. If I didn't think God could bring revival, I'd just shut the book and go home. There's still a chance for revival. You want to help? Let me help you here. It starts with the individual, including me. It relies on me. He said, if verse 11 says, if by any means I might attend unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The only way you're going to finish your course is you've got to be committed to it. We're working in the kitchen at Solid Rock Baptist Church. Solid Rock Baptist Church gets what they get done during the summit without a kitchen. It blows my mind. Do you know how they do that? By a bunch of committed people. They make cheesesteaks for over 1,000 people. They make cheesesteaks with or without. Yes, come on now. I'm just talking about they make you French fries that are hot. Do you know how they do it? They do it under tents. Could be 100 degrees out there. They're loving Jesus because you know what? There's some committed people that want to get the job done. It's just amazing. I mean, it really is amazing. So we're working on a kitchen to try to get this thing for the summit. And 7 years ago, coming up 7 years, they built a building. And they had a plumber in there and they were trying to get an idea of what they were going to do. So everything the guy put in was no good for the kitchen. Hello, can I get a witness? So you got to go take the saw and you got to cut the concrete out and then you got to cut it in slabs and then you got the teenagers lifting the thing up and throwing it onto the dump truck and then you got to dig and then you got to put the plumbing in and people just think, come on, watch it, because I preached a message like this the other week. Then people just look like the kitchen's just going to happen. Boom, there it is. Are you out of your mind? Are you plumb out of your mind? It's not just going to go poof. So here we are. I'm getting hotter by the minute. I get the plumber who originally put the plumbing in, and I had him come and pay me a visit. He didn't put the grease trap in the right place. He had nothing tied into the grease trap, which meant I could use none of his plumbing. So you cut a 4-foot section out by 30 feet long. And you find out where the pipes are going. Because they're not in the right place on the print. Can I get a witness? It's just awesome, isn't it? Now watch. So God says to me, all right, if we're going to get this kitchen in, you're going to have to be committed. So the teenagers, who were my biggest helpers, they got camp. Can I get a witness? I was ready to cancel camp. They can't cancel camp, amen? Come on now. Can't cancel camp. And I got some people helping me. One guy, he's 76 years old, showing up every morning, man, doing all he can do. Friday, we're pouring concrete. You ready? It's me who just had the heart attack not too long ago, almost a year ago. I got another guy who's a deaf guy, Chris Harris. He's pretty strong. I mean, he's, yeah, one of them guys. I got the 76-year-old, and I got Ed DeLorco, the four of us. And we're going to wheel the concrete in. We're going to screed the concrete off, and then we're going to steel finish it, which you're not going to just go ahead and trowel the top of it and go hit it with a broom. Hello? Your commitment level gets, you ready? Challenged. And then you have all the people in the background say, why'd you take so long? And I want to slap them right upside the head. And 9 times out of 10, it's a woman. And I want to help her a little bit. I was at a wedding, and she's saying, why'd you take so long? I said, do you have any idea? I started this thing in January. It took me all that time a month ago to get approvals, to get the permits, to go get the drawings, to get the architect to put it all together. And most people don't work at a fast pace. Hello? So let me ask you a question. What kind of commitment do you have to the Lord? What does it take for the devil to throw into your life that really stops your commitment? What's it take? All right, you ready? Watch. This week, Vacation Bible School, we're going to be tested. We're going to be tested on how much we're committed. And let me just help you here. It's not going to work the way you think it is. I've been doing Vacation Bible Schools for a lot of years. I've been doing one Vacation Bible for 6 years straight. And it never happens the same way. And normally, the pastor's unnerving because he's got all the pressure. It's not just like, okay, Vacation Bible School, yeah! Hello? There's a lot of responsibility. So get on board any way you can. I mean, you might go out and buy something, give a gift, whatever, some kind of compassion, but do something. Do something. You certainly could pray. Just pray. Be committed. You ready? And if you're here, show kids some compassion. And allow God to do a great thing this week. Because I'm looking for God to do some great things. So let's be the kind of people who have enough godly character that we're going to show compassion. We're going to be consistent. Now watch, this week, listen to me. Your spirituality is going to be tested this week. Devil's going to do all he can to get you sidetracked. The worst thing you can have is a worker come in and is all about the flesh and not about the spirit. And cause havoc and problems. We don't want that this week. Right? We want to work as a cohesive group. Things are not going to work out according to the schedule. Hello? It ain't happening. We're going to work according to the schedule, but sometimes things are going to happen. You got to roll with the punches. Pastor Dennis says, bumps are what you climb on, not what holds you back. So let's be this week, just have some godly character and understand the final end. You ready with it? We're looking to see people get saved, and we're looking to reach other families. So we get them here, they're going to have fun. I have fun. They should have fun, right? Amen? Come on. So let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and your mercy. I'm thankful that you called me into the ministry and I get to do what I do. I'm amazed at what you've allowed me to do in my life. Don't deserve any of it, but thankful about it. Maybe here tonight, and you say, you know what, Brother Kaiser, I've got to be honest with you tonight. God spoke to my heart tonight. And there's some godly character things and traits that I saw tonight in some people in the Bible. And maybe God's speaking to your heart that you need to work on tonight. And you say with an uplifted hand, here's my hand tonight. God spoke to me tonight. Put your hand up. Good, 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 good. Good. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Anybody else? I'll wait.